A reading from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 7, verses 55 to 60. Stephen, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked up intently to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And Stephen said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out in a loud voice, covered their ears, and rushed upon him together. They threw him out of the city and began to stone him. The witnesses laid down their cloaks at the feet of a young man named Saul. As they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell to his knees and cried out in a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he said this, he fell asleep. The word of the Lord. The story of the martyrdom of Stephen makes very concrete for us how the message of the gospel reading for today from John 17, part of what is familiarly called the priestly prayer of Jesus as the Last Supper. When we hear, actually it feels somewhat like overhearing, that heartfelt, deeply intimate conversation of Jesus with his Father, our hearts burn within us, do they not? At the deep desire he expresses for our intimate oneness with him and the Father and each other, that they may all be one, as you, Father, in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us. Our hearts overflow with gratitude for this incredible love, articulated in his wish to be with us. And our hearts expand with awe that the Son of God looks on us as a gift to him from his Father. Father, they are your gift to me. The intimacy, the mutuality in the communion among Father, Son, disciples there present, and all followers of their word is breathtaking. Breathtaking, too, is the radical discipleship of Stephen. Is he not at this recorded moment the ultimate witness of such love? A deacon, a man filled with the Holy Spirit, is being stoned to death because of the withering challenge he made to those obstinate listeners who were resisting the message of Jesus. He literally took on the leaders of his time. Reread the earlier verses of this chapter 7 of Acts, along with the concluding verses of chapter 6, to get the whole context for today's dramatic culmination. Just like the enormous number of Christians today who are undergoing persecution and even martyrdom because of their faith, Stephen believed that the message of Christ was worth living for and dying for. He obviously took the message of Christ very seriously. Today, we do not know the names of most of the many persecuted Christians in our world, or indeed of the many followers of other great and ancient religions who are killing each other. But we do know some. Did you see the movie Of Gods and Men? Seven Trappist monks in Tiberine, Algeria, men who had given their whole lives to loving service of their beloved people in that country, mostly Muslims, were senselessly but deliberately murdered. On August 1st, 1996, just 2 months later, in Oran, Algeria, one of our brother Dominicans died, also at the hands of radical fundamentalists. Pierre Claverie also had made a total commitment to the people he felt called to serve in his homeland, Algeria. Read the moving story of his life, including his striking conversion of heart as a young Dominican friar, and of his martyrdom, in the book, a wonderful biography entitled A Life Poured Out by Jean-Jacques Perrenet, O.P. The prayer of Jesus in today's gospel may seem at first a little complex, and it is, I guess, theologically complex. The lives of martyred Stephen and all those persecuted and martyred Christians right down to our own day show us what it actually means in practice. They lived it to the end, not as a complex, but rather as a simple matter of showing the world the mission of that mutuality proclaimed in John's gospel, a mission of true, intimate knowing that issues in a powerful reality of unity. In other words, in an all-embracing reciprocal love. We ask ourselves, can we so absorb this message today that our part of the church is truly one with the persecuted church in other parts of our world? And what is required of us, of me, today, to give more than intellectual assent to the profound truths of today's liturgical readings? What is the revelation that my life gives to the people where I live right now?